Hi there, I'm Jack Carney, your weekly host here on The Comedy Show, inviting you to join us now for part two of the Jack Benny Special. Oh, he was something, that Benny Kobelski. Johnny Carson said he was the greatest comedian who ever lived. He could dissolve an audience in laughter just by crossing his arms, looking at the audience and going, This is part two of our Jack Benny special, and it features interviews with members of the cast like Don Wilson and Dennis Day and Mel Blanc and Frank Nelson and many, many others. It's a labor of love, too, because all of us connected with the comedy show, the weekly comedy show here, are great fans of the old Jack Benny radio and television shows. This is what we feel is the very best of the best. Benny routines and interviews with regulars on The Benny Show. Last week, on part one of the special, we talked, if you remember, to Don Wilson about his joining the show. We also heard the story of Eddie Anderson, who played Rochester for so many years, and how he joined The Benny Show. Later, we talked to Dennis Day about how he joined the cast.
Well, I started way back in October of 1939 with Jack Benny in radio. And before that, I had just graduated out of Manhattan College in New York City, and I'd been interested in singing. I thought I'd make law a vocation and singing an avocation because I never thought I'd make a livelihood at singing. But I was president of the Manhattan College Glee Club in New York, and after I graduated from college, I was going to go to law school, but I had an operation which kept me out for several months. In the meantime, I had done some radio, local radio stations in New York, and had recorded a couple of the songs that I had sung on the show. And Kenny Baker, Jack Benny's singer, had left the Jack Benny program, and Jack was looking for a replacement. There were probably about 500 singers had sent in records or auditioned for the job. And somebody suggested I send over some of the records that I had made, and I did. And they were thinking anything would happen, but by good fortune and good luck, Mary Livingston happened to be in Jack's agent's office listening to a lot of records. She heard mine. She liked it very much. She brought it to Chicago to Jack, and the next thing I know, I wasn't aware of that at the time. Jack came in to New York City, and I met him. And he asked me if I'd audition for him. I said, yes, I would. So I auditioned in person the following day and sang for perhaps about a half hour or so. And it was in NBC Studios in New York, Studio 8, as I recall. And I had sung for about a half hour, and they said, we'll take a rest. And I did, and I was talking to my accompanist, and we were talking over what we might do next. And then over the loudspeaker came a voice that said, oh, Dennis. And I turned, and I said, yes, please. And Jack told me later on, after he had signed me to a contract, that was one of the deciding factors in his choosing me as a replacement for Kenny Baker. Not only the fact that he liked my voice as a singer, but he liked my approach and everything else. So I guess it pays to be polite. But he gave me a round-trip ticket then to go out to California and audition for his writers and producers, which I did. And about 2 weeks before the show went back on the air in October of 39, he signed me to a contract. It had a two-week option. If I didn't make good in 2 weeks, I was dropped. If I did, then I'd stay on for the next 11 weeks. So every 13 weeks in the first year, my option was renewed.
Come in. Oh, hello, Dennis.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Dennis. What are you doing around here?
Oh, I'm thinking of moving. I've been looking at houses all day.
Oh, you want to buy a house?
Yeah. How much would you take for this one?
Oh, don't be silly, Dennis. My house isn't for sale.
I know, but if it were for sale, how much would you take?
Well, hey, let me see. It's in the best part of Beverly Hills. I have an acre of land, 12 rooms, swimming pool. Oh, I'd ask about $100,000.
I wouldn't have this dump if you gave it to me.
Look, Dennis, I don't want any trouble with you. You asked me how much my house was worth, I told you $100,000.
Does the price include the Venetian blinds?
Yes.
Also the drapes and the carpet. Anyway, Dennis, what's wrong with the house you're living in now? You just moved in.
I know, but it's too inconvenient.
Inconvenient?
Yeah, in order to get to the bedroom, you have to go through the furnace.
Well, that I don't understand at all.
Dennis, what kind of a house are you looking for?
Oh, a sort of a ranch house. You know, everything on one floor.
How many rooms?
Well, I'd like 2 bedrooms, a den, a living room, and a kitchen.
How about a bath?
No, thanks. I had one this morning.
Why do I always get trapped into these things? Mary talks to him, she gets a sensible answer. I ask a sensible question, what do I get? Abbott and Costello. Dennis, let me hear the song you're going to do on this week's program.
Yes, sir.
Because I know it's going to sound beautiful when you sing it on the show.
Don't be so sure.
Why not?
I'm having my tonsils out tonight.
Tonight? Dennis, are your tonsils infected?
No.
Well, has your throat been sore?
No.
Have you been catching colds?
No.
Then why are you having your tonsils out?
A doctor friend of mine is coming over, and I don't know how else to entertain him.
What?
Last time he took out my appendix.
Dennis.
If he keeps coming over, there won't be anything left.
Dennis.
Well, I gotta go look for a house now. Goodbye, Mary.
Bye.
Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, Dennis.
Well, as we said a minute ago, Dennis Day, or Eugene Patrick McNulty, joined the Jack Benny radio show in October of 1939, never realizing that it would become almost his lifetime work.
I stayed with Jack for 5 years, almost 5 years, and then I went in the Navy in World War II. And after I got out of the Navy, I went back, rejoined Jack, and stayed with him. So all the years, I spent about 25 years on a regular basis with Jack Benny.
Come in.
I beg your pardon, but hello again.
Dennis!
Dennis! Dennis! Dennis!
Welcome back, kid. Welcome back. Gee, it's good to see you. Gosh, Mary, doesn't he look wonderful?
Oh, he sure does.
Oh, boy, I never expected this. Are you going to kiss me too, Miss Livingston?
Well, I certainly, Dennis.
Doggone, Dennis, I can't get over. You look so much taller. You've changed so.
Well, sure he's changed, Jackson. This kid's been in the Navy for 2 years. He's grown up.
Yeah,
Dennis, tell us about yourself. Did you enjoy your 2 years in the Navy?
I sure did, Miss Livingston. The Navy's wonderful. I went all over the South Pacific, and I saw plenty.
You did, kid. Say, I bet you had a lot of fun, too. Say, Dennis, I've been wanting to ask you something. Tell me, kid, how about those waves?
That's what made me seasick.
Yeah, growing up.
It was one of the most wonderful associations that anybody could ever have because he was, to me, he was like a father. I could go to him at any time with any problem that I might have regarding my career or otherwise. And Jack would always have an open ear and certainly an open heart. He was really a great, great, wonderful, warm individual. Not only was he a great comedian and entertainer, but I think he was also one of the warmest individuals that I've ever known.
Well, gee, Mother, why do you want to leave the house just because I'm giving a surprise party for Mr. Benny?
I think you're wasting your money on that mean old man.
Now, Mother, that isn't fair. Mr. Benny has been like a father to me. Why, only last week he gave me advice on how to be popular with the girls.
Oh, he did, huh?
Yeah. He took me aside and said, Dennis, my boy, you're missing a lot. You ought to get a girl and on some moonlight night, drive her over to Lover's Lane, put your arms around her, pull her up close to you, put your face close to hers, and...
Yes, then what did Mr. Benny tell you?
When he got to that part, he fainted.
Well, look, Dennis, let me give you some advice on that.
Yes, Mother?
Son, as you go through life, you'll meet many girls.
Yeah.
And someday you'll meet the one girl you'll want to spend the rest of your life with. And it will probably be when you least expect it.
Gee. Say, Mom, how did you first meet Father?
We were matched together in the golden glove.
People think, well, my gosh, here you were on the show and you must have had an awful lot of lines. Well, really, we only had about a page and a half of dialogue, but that was dynamite material. And people might say, hey, wasn't Dennis funny, or wasn't Phil Harris or Rochester or so? Weren't they funny on the Jack Benny show? Still the Jack Benny show. Because he was the catalyst, really, who held the whole thing together and kept it moving. He was the butt of the jokes. He didn't care how many laughs you got. He was a great audience, and it still was the Jack Benny show.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Welcome home.
Well, it's nice being home.
Good to see you again.
Thanks, kid.
I hurried over as soon as I heard you were back.
You did?
Yeah. Gosh, if I got something to tell you.
What, Dennis? What? What?
I'm quitting your show.
Quitting the show?
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute, Dana. What's wrong this time? Don't you like the material you get on the program?
Oh, I think the lines they give me are very funny.
Well, don't you like the short hours you have to work?
Well, they're fine.
Well, don't you like the musical arrangements I get you for your songs?
I think they're wonderful.
And for heaven's sake, kid, what's the matter?
I don't like you.
And he was gentle. This is what's on his mausoleum. A gentle man.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Day. Merry Christmas.
What do you want?
Well, I've come to cheer Dennis up.
You couldn't cheer up a laughing hyena.
Well, for your information, Mrs. Day, a laughing hyena doesn't really laugh. What sounds like laughter is just a peculiarity of the hyena's vocal cords.
Well, it takes one to know one.
Look, Mrs. Day, I didn't come over here to...
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny. I'm in the bedroom.
Hello, Dennis. How'd you get your cold?
Oh, last night I went out all over town singing Christmas carols.
See, Dennis, it's awfully stuffy in here. Shall I open a window?
You can't. I nailed them all shut because I walk in my sleep.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. One night last week, I walked all over town. I finally wound up in the Brown Derby. Boy, was I embarrassed.
Well, I should imagine with all those people there and you in your pajamas.
Who wears pajamas?
God, that must have been awful.
Yeah, Gus, the manager, threw me out because I didn't have a tie on.
Oh, well, I don't blame him.
Here, Dennis, I brought you some soup.
Mrs. Day, that's a hot water bottle.
He likes it that way.
Well, I better be going. Goodbye, Dennis.
Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Oh, by the way, Dennis, you haven't thanked me yet for the Christmas present I gave you.
You call that a Christmas gift?
Look, Mrs.
My
Day.
My Dennis has been with you over 15 years. And after all that time, you gave him a ticket for a lousy 89-cent car wash.
Well, tell him to use it on Saturday. It's $1.25 there. Anyway, it's not the gift that counts. It's the sentiment behind it.
Unless you know about sentiment, you wouldn't give Arthur Godfrey a tea bag if he was stranded on the Mojave Desert with a cup of hot water.
Just a minute, Mrs. Day. You listen to me.
Not listening to anybody. One more word out of you, and I'll put black circles around those baby blue eyes.
Oh, you will, eh?
Just hit him, Mom.
What?
Our television set is broken, and I haven't seen a good fight in weeks.
Settled it. I came over here out of the goodness of my heart. I wanted to cheer up Dennis because the poor kid is sick. And all I get out of it is insult.
Oh, right in the kisser.
I'm very fond of Dennis, Mrs. Day, and I've been very good to him all these years. And you should be the last one.
Cut up!
That settles it. I'm going home.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
The character that Dennis Day played became a very important part of every Benny radio broadcast.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Here comes Dennis.
Well, what about it?
You know, man, every time that kid opens his mouth, he says something silly, and I'm aggravated for the rest of the week. But this time, he's not getting away with it. I'm ready for him.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Mr. Benny. Boy, 2 weeks in Palm Springs has sure made you look different.
You see, Mary, he's starting already.
I'm sorry I haven't been able to see more of you up here, but I've been very busy.
Busy, huh? What have you been doing?
Oh, swimming a little every day, getting lots of sleep, eating good food, and catching up on my reading.
You're reading, huh?
Yeah, it's nice and quiet up here, and I can concentrate. Hamlet requires a lot of attention.
Hamlet, huh?
I consider it to be Shakespeare's finest work. Although I'd be the first to admit there are great qualities in Macbeth, Julius Caesar, and Othello. But to my way of thinking, Hamlet offers more scope and penetrates with a deeper insight into human nature.
That's enough, Dennis. I won't listen to that kind of talk.
But, Jack...
I don't care. I'm on a vacation. I'm not going to let him aggravate me.
But, Jack, he hasn't said anything silly.
I know, and he's doing it on purpose. Dennis, you're deliberately trying to annoy me.
Oh, no, I'm not, Mr. Benny.
Then how come you're talking intelligently?
I can't help it. I was out in the sun too long. But I discovered a way to keep cool.
You did?
Yeah, I get a big punch bowl, fill it full of shaved ice, put in 3 lemons, 2 oranges, some ginger ale, a quart of scotch, a bottle of Smirnoff vodka, and 5 maraschino cherries.
Dennis, you drink that?
No, I sit in it.
When we talked to Dennis Day about the early Jack Benny radio shows, we asked him about the guest stars that Jack Benny used.
Well, we did have a lot. You know, Gary Cooper, we had Loretta Young, and, of course, Ronald Colvin, when he came on. Most of the big top film stars would fight to get on the Jack Benny show, knowing that they would be the star, and they would have great material. And they would love to come on the show. As a result, that's why he'd get some, you know, we didn't have them on a regular basis, but he would get people like the stature of Gary Cooper or Ronald Coleman. And they just love being on the show.
Ronnie, where are you?
I'm here in the library, Benita.
Benny was over, and he left a pair of tickets for us for his broadcast.
Look, I wouldn't go to Benny's broadcast if I were the guest star. When did he leave the tickets?
When he borrowed your full dress suit.
My full dress suit? When will that man stop? Next thing we know, he'll be wanting to borrow our piano.
Oh, Ronnie, look in the living room.
No, this is too much. That man drives me mad. If he hadn't borrowed my razor, I'd go upstairs and cut my throat.
Oh, no. Please don't. He's got our band-aid, too.
How do you like that?
Well, calm down. We will have a bit of a vacation soon. Mr. Benny's going away on a vaudeville tour.
Vaudeville tour? Well, what in the world could Benny do on the stage?
Play the violin, I suppose.
But you mean that the people will pay money to hear Benny play the violin?
Yes.
Say, Benita, let's you and I go out and join Spike Jones.
Don't be so silly. You know, there's only one normal person in the whole crew.
There is?
Yes. Well, haven't you ever noticed Mary Livingston?
Well, my dear, you've got to admit that Miss Livingston is pretty. And when she stands alongside of one of the... I'll get it. Hello? Oh, Jack Benny, we were just talking about you. Yes, I know we have tickets to your broadcast today, but I'm afraid we were... Yeah, I realize that, Jack, but I know, Jack, but... But Well, that's all very well, Jack, but it just so happens that today we thought we'd stay at home.
Well, Ronnie, you know, I hate to brag, but all my programs have been very good, and today's going to be one of the best. You're lucky to be able to get some tickets, because it's very hard to get. If you don't want them, there'll be plenty of other customers. I mean, people will be glad to use the tickets, so I won't take no for an answer, Ronnie. I'll even drive you down my car. It'll be ready in 5 minutes. Goodbye.
Kids, we're going to have some very famous people in our audience today, Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman, and they insist that I drive them to the studio. Come on, Rochester, get the car.
Jack Benny used Ronald Coleman and his wife, Benita, as guests many times. On the show, he always said that they were next-door neighbors, but in real life, they live just 6 blocks away.
Benita, riding in this car is the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me.
I know how you feel. Look at all that dirt on the floor.
I don't mind the dirt, but the weeds are so high.
You want to change places with me?
I can't. My pants are caught in the spring. Anyway, I'm glad we're going down this side street so nobody sees us.
Are you folks comfortable back there?
Oh, I'm fine.
Well, frankly, I find it a little drafty.
Drafty? Well, we'll fix that. Rochester, stop the car and put up the curtain.
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, don't bother. It'll be all right. Are you comfortable, Jack?
Sure, why?
I thought you'd be a little cramped up there with the meter.
Stop with that.
Say, Jack, is this an English car?
An English car?
Yeah, I noticed the steering wheel is on the right.
Oh, no. It's just bent that way.
Oh, I see an accident on Hollywood Boulevard.
No struggle on Mulholland Drive.
Rochester. Now, don't drive so fast because... Oh, look, there's Greer Garson. Hello, Greer. Look, he's waving at us. Hiya, Greer. Goodbye, Greer.
Benita, you and Ronnie can sit up again. We've passed her. Thank you, Mary. Jack, do we have to go so fast? There's an awful wind back here.
There is? Yes, Benita, it's lucky you brought your muff with you.
My muff?
Yes, right there on your arm.
Mr. Fenner, this must have blown off your head.
Thanks. By the way, Jack, is this car the Maxwell you used to talk so much about?
No, Ronnie. During the war, I gave my Maxwell to the scrap drive.
Oh, and then this is what they gave you in return?
Well, no. You see, Rochester, there's a red light.
I see it.
We made it, Ronnie. You can put your rabbit's foot away now.
You know, folks, I think that...
Oh, Mr. Benny, may I have your autograph, please?
Why, certainly, of course. There you are.
And you're Mary Livingston, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And, oh, my goodness, this is a surprise. You are...
Mr. and Mrs. Herman Schlagelmeyer.
You were Roy Rogers.
Rochester, the light's green now.
Yes, sir.
Hurry, Rochester, start the car. We're holding up traffic.
The motor.
I wasn't frightened. I was thrown.
For goodness sake, Rochester, start the car. We're holding up there. understand why it acts like this. I've done everything for this motor.
Have you had it vaccinated for whooping cough?
Rochester, try it again. Ronnie, Benita, would you mind getting out and helping us push?
Get out and push! Mr. Benny, let me explain something to you. I didn't want to go to your broadcast. I didn't want to ride in your car. And as far as I'm concerned,
oh,
if
darling,
I never...
look, we're stalled right in front of Rama's Chinese where they're showing the late George Ackley.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go!
Well, the least he could do is come back and pick up the door. Come on, Mary, let's push.
In our last skit, the sound of the automobile was done by Mel Blanc. Mel was the man of 1,000 voices and 1,000 effects on the Benny radio show.
Jack had heard me in the cartoons, had heard my voice. And he called me in. This was in 1939. I started the cartoons in 1937. And he had heard my voice and called me. And he had a bear in the basement that was guarding his vault. And the bear's name was Carmichael. Well, he couldn't bring a live bear on to do a growl, so he called me in and asked me if I could do the growl of a bear. And I said, yeah, I think I can. He said, what would it sound like? I said, maybe like this. He said, oh, great, great, you're on next week. Well, for 6 months, that's all I did was a growl of a bear. And finally, I said to him, you know, Mr. Benny, I can also talk. Jack fell down, pounded the table. He said, swell, I'll have the writers write something in for you. And they proceeded to write in crazy things for me. One of them was the train caller at the depot. Jack always used to leave by train. This is before planes were too popular. And they asked me if I could do this train caller. And this is the guy that called the three crazy towns in California. Sounded like this.
Train waiting on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
I guess we better go to the south end of the depot to meet the incoming passengers.
Yeah, but I better check at the information desk and see if Stubbs' train's on time. Huh? Look, why don't you and Dennis just browse around while I get the information? Huh?
Okay.
Let's see, where's the information booth?
Correction, please. There will be no trip to Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga as previously announced. That train has just been rented to the Fairfax Kitty Park.
So crowded here. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Attention, please. Attention. Trains now leaving for Las Vegas on tracks 7 and 11.
Don, we...
These trains are pulled by diesel engines.
Don... we better get that information about Stubbs' train. Come on, I think it's right over here. There's the information booth there. Oh, mister. Mister.
Yeah.
Are you the information clerk?
Well, what do you think I am in this cage? A parakeet with a mustache?
Wait a minute. The last time I was down here, they had you behind the ticket counter. How did you get information?
I dialed 113.
Now, will you stop that? All I want to know is if the super chief will be arriving on time.
Hey, let me see. The California Limited leaves in 15 minutes. The Grand Canyon departs in a half an hour. The Challenger is leaving in an hour and a half.
Wait a minute. I want to know about a train coming in. Why do you keep telling me about trains that are leaving?
Well, in psychiatry, they call it the power of suggestion.
Look, you still haven't answered my question. When will the super chief be in?
In exactly 15 minutes.
Thank you. Come on, Don.
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. What track does the train come in on? We have to know what gate to wait at. Oh, look, before we leave the window, why don't you ask the man where to go?
Okay.
Oh, mister. Mister, could you tell me where to go? Dennis.
He's right over there weighing himself.
Oh, yeah. Dennis, what are you jumping on that machine for?
Well, I put a penny in, but no peanuts came out.
Dennis, that's a weighing machine. It's a scale. When you put a penny in, a little card comes out. There it is down there.
Oh, yeah. Hey, gee, look, I weigh 155 pounds.
And, Dennis, on the other side is your fortune.
Oh, my fortune? Well, let me see. Gee, now they tell me.
What does it say?
No peanuts.
Kids, we better get over to meet the train.
The Southbound Limited, now leaving for Laguna, Capistrano, San Diego, Tijuana, Acapulco, and Mexico City.
Jack, this is the gate right here.
Yeah, sure, a lot of people waiting. Well, I can hardly wait to see Stubb again. Good old Stubb.
Yeah, I'll bet he'll be glad to see you, too. Come on, let's edge over a little.
I wonder what that kid is crying about.
Attention, the super chief is now arriving on track 8.
Come on, Mr. Benny. Everyone's getting ahead of us.
That poor kid. I better see why he's crying.
Oh, now, Jack, how can you butt in? You don't even know the kid.
Well, I can't just let him cry. What seems to be the trouble, Sonny? Did you lose your mommy? Look, I don't know what's wrong, but I wish you'd stop crying.
If you give me a nickel, I will.
Go ahead, Jack. Give it to him.
But, Don, I don't even know the kid.
The people are starting to come up the ramp.
All right, kid, here's a nickel. Now you can stop crying and dry your eyes because everything is going to
Let go of it already.
Thanks. I didn't think you could do it.
Jack, do you see your friend?
No, I don't. I hope he didn't miss the train. Gee, that's the way he was in school, too. Completely irresponsible. That Stubb Wilbur. I was 2 years older than Stubb, and he got in the habit of letting me do his thinking for him.
Attention, please. Attention. The Luraline now arriving on track 5.
Luraline?
Man, was it foggy.
Well, there's no sense standing here. Let's go home.
Yeah, I guess so. Gee, I'm sorry I dragged you both down here on a wild goose chase.
Beg pardon, but could you be of a little assistance to me?
Huh? Oh, what can I do for you, sir?
Well, I don't see so good anymore. Would you mind reading an address I've got written down here on this piece of paper?
Let's see. 366 North Camden Drive. Wait a minute. That's my address.
Well, Jack Benny.
Stop, Wilbur. Gee, it's good to see you. Come on, Stubb. We got a lot to talk over. Here, I'll carry your bag.
Never mind the bags. Carry me.
Gee, it's amazing how old you can get when you don't lie about your age. Come on, everyone. Let's go home.
Now, let's join Jack, Don, and Dennis. They're just arriving at a drive-in movie, and Mel Blanc plays the man in the car next to them.
Well, Jack, I think I see a space in the next row.
Yeah, better hurry before somebody else gets it.
Okay. You're tight squeeze. Watch your side, Don. Here I go.
Come on. Come Come on, plenty of room over here.
Watch it. To the right. To the right. To the right.
Come on. Come on. Oh, hold it, Johnny.
To the left. To the left.
To the right.
To the left.
Now make up your mind.
Hang your guys pipe down, will you? To the right, to the right, to the left, to the left.
Now, Herman, don't make a scene.
Oh, but, Myrtle, you think they were stalking the Queen Mary.
Well, look, hold it down, little fellas. Now, how am I on your side, Don?
Fine, Jack. Two more. There, that's perfect.
Now, let's all settle back and watch the movie.
Gee, I don't like the angle from here.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, the actor on the screen has a pointed head.
You're looking in the mirror.
Jack, I think we're a little too far to the side. Maybe we could get something more to the center.
Look, I had enough trouble finding this face. I'm not moving, so forget it. I told you to pipe down. Now you woke the baby up. Oh, for goodness sake.
Quick, Herman, give her the milk.
I can't. You made it too hot.
Hold her.
I'm holding her. I'm holding her.
Be quiet. Now, how about you practicing what you preach?
Look, you woke the baby up.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't intend to, and I apologize. We're all here to see a movie, so let's relax and enjoy ourselves. You want to be friends? Certainly.
Okay, stick your hand out the window.
All right, there.
Ow! You see, Myrtle, I told you the bottle was too hot.
Nerve, you burned my...
Quiet! What do you want to do? Wake the other kids?
The other kids?
Yeah, Billy, Tom, and Susie, Dickie, and Irving are light sleepers.
And if they wake up, they'll disturb Katie, Alice, Melvin, Julius, and the twins.
Now, how many children have you got?
Who knows? It's dark in here. Now, come on, baby. Daddy's got you. Now, go to sleep now.
We had to come to a drive-in.
I want to hear the picture. John, roll down your window and get the speaker, huh?
Okay. Here, I'll just hang it over the window ledge here.
Oh, Abigail. Abigail, my darling, these moments with you are like a dream.
Yes, Charles. I only live when we're together. Oh, hold me closer.
How I love you, Abigail. But these secret rendezvous. What if your husband catches us?
Oh, that's impossible. He's away for the weekend.
Don, turn the speaker up a little.
It isn't on yet. That's the couple in the next car.
Gentleman in this very room is the fiendish axe killer.
Hey, this is exciting.
Yeah, Abigail's kissing him again.
Watch the picture.
Catherine Grimes, and you'll be astonished when I tell you that the name of the murderer is...
Jack, stop blowing your horn.
I'm not blowing it. It's stuck. There must be a short in the wire.
See, I can't hear who the murderer is.
I can't. Jack?
I'm hitting it. It won't stop.
Call the automobile club.
I can't. They blackballed me.
What the hell? I'll call the wire. There.
Yeah, I'm so embarrassed.
I woke the baby up again. I hope you're satisfied.
Look, it was an accident. If you don't like being next to me, why don't you move?
I should move.
Did you hear that, Myrtle? This guy comes in, bothers everybody, and he wants I should move. Come on. Quick, Myrtle. Hold the baby. I'm afraid I'll throw her at him.
Look, Jack, there's no sense staying here. Why don't you take that space over in the next row?
Oh, maybe you're right. Some people just won't let you have a good time.
Better go in here, Jack, next to this convertible.
Oh, yeah, there's a spot. Now, maybe we can enjoy the picture.
Come closer, Cynthia. Your kisses do something to me.
And yours thrill me, too. But, Robert, I worry so. What if your wife catches us?
Impossible. Abigail thinks I'm out of town for the weekend.
See, the whole family is here. I should tell Abigail. Now, why get involved?
A few minutes ago, we were talking about Mel Blanc. Mel continued as a regular weekly on the Benny Show until the final radio program, which was May the 22nd, 1955. Blank was probably the most versatile of all the cast.
Perhaps one of the most popular spots that I did with Jack was a little seaside routine with a little Mexican fella that came from Tijuana and played a guitar. But that was one of Jack's favorites. He loved that little spot. And Jack could break up at every rehearsal and then he'd say, I'm not going to break up during the show. Sure enough, he'd break up at every show. But he loved that.
You want to shake hands?
Sí.
Can I consider you my friend?
Sí.
You will always help me?
Sí.
Then, to my surprise, he walked away. I turned to go. Someone pulled at my sleeve.
Oh, Senor Irish. Senor Irish.
What is it?
Before you leave, I would like you to meet my little six-year-old son, Tomas.
Oh, hello, Tomas.
Tomas, he is learning to be a magician. He does a wonderful act on the stage with his sister.
Really? So you're a magician, eh, Tomas?
Sí.
Do you have an act?
Sí.
With your sister?
Sí.
What is your sister's name?
Sue.
Your act?
Saw.
What do you saw?
Sue.
Sue?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Somebody put you up to this. Who was it?
Me.
Who are you?
I.
Sai?
Mel Blanc told us about Jack's favorite skit involving him. It seems that every member of the cast had a favorite bit that they did with the boss. Don Wilson's involved Jack and Mary and Dennis and Bob Crosby all going home with Don for dinner.
I invited them over to the house for dinner. If it was all right with Lois. And I said, sure, it's all right. He said, I'd be sure you've spoken to the little woman. I said, Jack, it'll be perfectly all right. So now the scene changes to the house, and I go in first, and I tell Lois that I've invited the cast over, and that was a little bit of a curve to throw her because she wasn't prepared for it. Like all housewives, when their husbands throw curves, they're not quite prepared for it. But one by one, the cast came in, everybody but Jack. Jack was the last one to come into the house.
Don, I'm still worried. Are you sure your wife won't mind our barging in?
Oh, she'll be delighted to have you.
Am I too heavy on your lap, Mr. Benny?
Yeah, Don, open the door. Maybe he'll fall out.
Yeah.
I don't care. I just had my pants spread.
Well, here we are. Driver, pull up that little white cottage there behind that car that just rolled away.
Okay.
Well, this is it, fellas. How much is that, driver?
$2.35.
Mm-hmm. Here you are.
Now, wait a minute, Don. This is on me.
Oh, no. I want to pay it.
Gee, you've certainly got a cute house, Don.
Nothing doing, Dennis. I want to pay the fare.
Oh, Bob, let me pay it.
Next time, Dennis, this is my treat.
No, no, Bob. I insist on paying.
Got rose bushes around the door and everything. She is beautiful.
Oh, Jack, pay for the cab and let's go in.
Pay for it? I'm not even in the argument. Oh, all right. How much you say that was, driver?
$2.35.
Here's $2.50. Keep the change.
Oh, goody. Now I can send my son to old Heidelberg.
Wise guy. Well, let's go in, Don, huh?
Wait a minute.
Huh?
You know, Jack, I was just thinking.
What?
Maybe I should have called up my wife first.
No.
done.
Well, with five people barging in unexpectedly, it might upset her.
That's what I told you at the studio. I told you to call up your wife.
Come on, Don. Don't be afraid. Let's go in.
Well, it isn't that I'm afraid, but...
I can understand Don's side of it. All of us barging in like this.
Barging, barging. I said that at the studio. I said, Don, call the little woman up. Call her up, I said.
Quiet, will you? I'll tell you what, fellas. You all hide in the rose bushes, and I'll go in and tell Laws that some of the gang might drop in unexpectedly. That'll kind of soften the blow.
What blow? Don, I told you at the studio.
Come on, Jack, let's do it his way.
All right, all right. Come on, we'll get in the rose bushes. Ouch. He's thorned. Make it snappy, Don. The silliest thing I've ever heard of.
Oh, be quiet and get off my foot.
Hello, sweetheart.
Well, darling, you're home early.
Yeah. Who was in that car that just drove away?
Oh, a junk man. I gave him that lousy bowl of waxed fruit.
Gee, I'm hungry, dear. We got something good for supper?
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I didn't have a chance to do any shopping, so I'll just open a can of tuna fish.
Oh, that's swell, dearest.
I spent two and a half already. I'm going to get tuna fish.
What are you worrying about? You're not even in yet.
The thing that burns me up. I'm the guy that told him to call her up.
Not so loud, Jack.
This is silly. I wonder if Don's going to... Hey, Dennis, stop eating those roses.
Well, I'm hungry.
So am I, but I'm going to wait. How are they?
They need salt.
Oh, stop. Hey, fellas, the pork light just went on.
Hey, fellas, you still there?
Yeah.
Well, I just told Lois I saw Bob and Mary pulling up in a car, so you two better come in first.
What about me?
You weren't in the car.
Well, for Pete's sake, I could be. You made the whole thing up. Let's all go in.
No, you can't do that. Mary and Bob, come on in first.
Okay.
See you later, Jack.
It was the darnest mess I ever got into.
Yeah.
I told him at the studio, I told him five times. Call her up, Don. Call up your wife. But no, he had to be a wise guy. Top of that, looks like it's going to rain.
It'll be wonderful for the roses.
Yeah, wonderful. I wouldn't mind waiting out here. The worst of it is I got to talk to you.
What do we talk about?
Nothing. Just be quiet and eat your roses. It's getting silly, too. Dennis, stop rubbing your legs
today. That's not me. That's a cricket. He's singing Three Coins in the Fountain.
Dennis, why do you have to be... Here comes Don again.
Hey, Dennis, come on in.
Dennis?
Yeah, I told my wife I just saw him riding up on his bicycle.
Well, as long as you're dreaming things up, why didn't you see me on the handlebar? I mean, use your fat head.
I'm sorry, Jack.
By the way, how's the tuna fish holding up?
Oh, there'll be plenty. Now, don't worry, Jack. You're next. Well, look who's here, darling. Dennis Day.
Look who's here, darling. Dennis Day. I ought to have my head examined. I can't get over it. If I told him once at the studio, I told him five times. I said, call up your wife. Let's not barge in on the little woman. Well, it's going to rain, all right. I can't get over that guy. I begged him. I pleaded with him. Don, I said, don't barge in on the little woman. Call her up. Let her know we're coming. I knew it. I knew. Well, here it comes. I'm going to get soaked. Oh, the heck with Wilson. I'm going to walk right in that house, ready or not. If he thinks I'm going to stay in...
Come up, buddy.
Huh?
You heard me. Come up.
The pick them up. Are you a burglar?
I ate the Count of Monte Cristo.
Now, look, mister.
Come on, come on. Where do you carry your dough?
Look, in my right shoe. But look, mister, I was invited to a party in this house. I'm not even supposed to be out here.
Get that shoe off.
See, it's raining. I'll get my foot wet. Now, please.
Hey, Jack! Oh, Jack! I'm...
Keep your mouth shut or I'll drill you.
But he's calling me. Can't you hear him?
Jack! Jack, where are you? Come on in.
Not a peep out of you, buddy, or I'll drill you.
But, mister, the tuna fish will be all gone. I don't like roast.
There's nobody out there, darling. You must have been mistaken.
I guess I was there.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, buddy. Off with that shoe.
Now, look, mister, if I take the shoe off, I'll never get it back on again. I haven't got my button hook with me. Now, please, go away, will you?
Come on, give me your toe.
But listen, buddy, this isn't fair. I wouldn't have been here at all if Don Wilson had taken my advice.
What are you talking about?
I'll tell you what I'm talking about. If I told him once, I told him 1,000 times. Call up your wife. 5 people barging in on the little room. It's an imposition. Call her up. Call her up.
But what are you listening
to? No. You had to be a wise guy. A smarter. 1,000 times, I said. Call up your little room.
And so that was Jack Benny's favorite skit involving Don Wilson. Well, a minute ago, waiting outside of Don Wilson's house for Don to tell his wife, Lois, that Jack was coming to dinner, Jack was robbed and caught a cold at the same time. That storyline got lots of mileage in subsequent scripts.
Anything that came up that involved Lois after that, Jack would always turn to me and say, call a little woman, call a little woman. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times. Call the little woman. That was a great running gag.
I ought to have my head examined. If I told Don once, I told him 1,000 times. I said, Don, call up your wife. Call her up, I said. Let's not barge in on the little woman. But no, Lois is a peach. She won't mind. She just loves to have company. Oh, nurse. Nurse.
Yes, boss?
Take this hot water bag away. It leaks. Look at this hole.
It's okay to keep your finger in it.
I told you to have it passed. Look at me. My nightie is so clear through. You're a fine nurse.
What's that, boss?
I said you're a fine nurse.
Well, you've only been sick a week. I haven't had time to get a diploma.
Well, then take off those white stockings. You look silly. All I'm asking for is a little help. If you'd only try it. Answer the phone, will you?
Hello? Yes, he's feeling much better, Miss Lamar.
Well...
Yes, ma'am. I'll tell him, Miss Lamar. Thanks for calling.
That was sweet. Who was that, Rochester? Hetty Lamar?
No, Dorothy.
Oh, you mean Dorothy Lamour?
No, Dorothy Lamar. She's the cook next door.
Oh, her. Well, she works for Ronald Coleman. Ronnie probably wants to know how I'm getting along.
You'll make something out of it, won't you, boy?
What it was. Mary, I told you not to fuss around the kitchen.
Now, Jack, you've got to eat this omelet I made for you. It'll do you good.
I don't want an omelet.
Well, you've got to have something. Here.
Oh, all right. Can't taste anything with this darn cold.
Rochester, did Mr. Benny sleep well last night?
No, Miss Wilson, he tossed and turned and kept talking in his sleep all the time.
Well, what'd he say?
Said he was going to give me a raise.
Well, I'm not.
You humble again tonight, and I'm going to stick a checkbook in your hand.
Don't try to pour any fast ones, Roger. Mary, what did you put in this omelet?
Vapor rub. You've got a cold, haven't you?
Vapor rub?
That stuff is to rub on. It's supposed to be taken externally.
All right, put the omelet on your chest and leave me alone.
You leave me alone.
I never saw anybody so cranky. It's your own fault that you've got a cold.
My fault? I suppose it was my fault that Don Wilson invited us to his house and everybody got in but me. I suppose it was my fault it started to rain and I got soaked.
Well, for heaven's sake, you don't expect him to bring home a whole gang of people without calling up his wife first.
Oh, for Pete. Mary, you were at the studio. You heard me. How many times did I say, Don, call up your wife? Call her up, I said. Let's not barge in on the little woman. But would he listen to me?
A good night, boss.
Thanks. No, he had to go and...
Gesundheit, Jack.
Thanks. He had to go and bring the whole gang out to...
Gesundheit, boss.
Thanks. Out to the house without letting her know a thing about it. I wouldn't have minded that so much, but when we...
It's your turn, Miss Williamson.
No, I said it already.
Yeah, but I said it after you said it.
Well, somebody say it. I'm superstitious. Gesundheit. I don't feel good. I wish the doctor would get here.
Well, go to sleep for a while. The rest will do you good.
I can't rest. I'm so uncomfortable lying here.
Why don't you take some of those silver dollars out of the mattress?
What are you talking about? Silver dollars. Nothing in the mattress but feathers.
You'll hear them clink when I make the bed.
Now, stop, both of you. I'm in no mood for nonsense.
Come in.
Oh, fine. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. I wasn't doing anything, so I thought I'd come over and see how you're getting along.
Well, that's very nice of you. Have a seat.
Thanks. How do you feel?
Not so hot. I'm dizzy. My eyes are bleary. I'm weak, and I ache all over.
Well, you're not a kid anymore.
Now, wait a minute. There's only one thing the matter with me, Dennis. I've got a cold.
A cold, he says.
What's the matter with you? Haven't you ever had a cold?
Oh, Jack, don't be such a crab. Dennis comes over to visit you and you jump all over him.
Yeah, if you're not nice to me, I won't give you the gift I brought for you.
The gift?
Uh-huh. Mother thought I should bring some flowers and my father suggested candy, but I decided it might be better to give you something that you can get some use out of.
Well, I like practical gifts. What'd you get me, Dennis?
A set of false teeth.
False teeth?
Watch the way they grab your finger.
Ow! Things away from me. I've never used false teeth. I don't need false teeth, and I don't want them.
Gee, then I guess I better take them back.
Certainly you'll take them back. In the first place, who brings people false teeth for a gift? In the second place, Dennis, when someone needs false teeth, they have to go to a dentist. An impression has to be made. Fittings have to be taken. And you have to wait till the gums are set so the jaw won't recede. Even then, you may have to go back three or four times if the palate is irritated or the bite overlaps.
Gee, for someone who doesn't wear them, you're sure an expert.
Dennis, cut it out! Look, if you just came here to aggravate me, you can go home now.
Oh, don't mind him, Dennis. Whenever he's sick, he gets touchy like this.
Oh, that's all right, Mary. Hey, what's that on your chest, Mr. Benny?
An omelet. There's vapor rubbing. Mary's brilliant idea. When I wouldn't eat it, just put it on your chest.
I only told you to put it on your chest for a gag.
Well, it feels wonderful, so the laugh's on you. As far as I'm concerned, you can all leave me alone.
Oh, Jack, why don't you take a nap and rest for a while?
I told you I can't sleep. I'm too nervous.
Well, close your eyes and relax. You'll be all right.
Okay, my eyes are closed. Am I asleep? No. I tell you, I'm too restless.
You want me to sing you to sleep?
Oh, fine. That's all I need.
You know, I'm very soothing.
All right, sing me to sleep. Hope it's Rockabye Baby in the Treetop. That always gets me. I think I was 6 months old or something.
Go ahead. Sing, Dennis.
Okay.
God, this mattress is so lumpy, I think I'll take it to the bank Monday.
One characteristic that Jack Benny had was a professional generosity. He was always willing to give credit. Credit to his cast and credit to his writers as well.
All my writers have been very, very good.
I don't remember not having a good rider. But by the same token, the same riders have been awfully nice to me because they figure not only am I easy to write for because of the characterization, but that I'm a help to them because they think I may not be the greatest writer in the world, but they think I'm the greatest editor. And they think I know what to tell them. And I make as many mistakes as anybody else.
Now, look, fellas. If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. You've got to have the program written before we go on the air. Every week, we just barely make it. Now, today, look what happened. No script at all.
Well, we were stuck this week.
Yeah, we didn't have no inspiration.
Oh, you didn't.
Don't yell at me. I'll fly to pieces.
I'm not yelling. I'm just asking you to work. That's all. You're working for me. I'm paying you to work.
And that's another thing. We want more dough.
Well, you certainly picked the right time to ask me. You're getting plenty now. Why do you want more money?
We want to get a room tonight.
Now, listen, will you cut that out? A fine team of writers I've got. I've been looking for you all week. Where were you?
Palm Springs.
You're not supposed to be in Palm Springs. You're supposed to be here with me.
Come on, Jack. We're waiting for you.
Mary, I'll be there in a minute. Now, look, fella.
Hey, who's a dame?
Who's... That's Mary Livingston. And she's not a dame. You've met her at least 400 times.
Oh, yeah. That's the girl we write for, Harry.
You're Harry. I'm Sam.
Benny, I'm glad to know you. Now, look, fellas, we're on the air, so I'm going out and do the best I can. Meanwhile, you stay right here and prepare some kind of a play for us.
Yeah, okay. Hey, how about a murder mystery?
A murder mystery?
Hey, you know, where a guy comes home and he finds his wife in the arms of another man, the husband says, "Now I got you." Why, Julius, what are you doing here?
You don't know what I'm doing here. I didn't go to Scranton at all.
Julius, put down that gun.
Oh, boy. Fine, write it up. Write anything. Just so we can have a program. Now, bring it in as soon as possible.
Okay.
Give me the pencil, Harry.
Well, you got it, Sam. I gave it to you yesterday.
No, I give it back to you.
Yeah, but after that, I put it in your...
Here, use my pencil. For heaven's sake, use my pencil. Just get started. Now, go to work.
Sometimes I'll tell them that I don't think this is right for the show, and it turns out great. And I apologize to them. I'd rather apologize and have a good show than have a lousy show and say I was right.
In a telephone interview, I asked Jack Benny whether he preferred radio or television.
I prefer television.
You preferred that to radio?
Much better than radio.
Why do you say that, Mr. Benny?
I'll tell you why. Because any time you have to make a transition, you better make it.
Mm-hmm.
And you better make it successfully.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not interested in nostalgia
mm-hmm.
or what people think about how good radio was. Because you had to make a transition to television. And you had to make a good transition. And I was very successful with mine, thank heaven,
mm-hmm.
and went on for 15 years. I wasn't nearly as interested in radio as I was in television.
Do you know you're the...
But television brought me back to the stage, to the theater, you know.
I see. Do you know you're the first radio performer of great magnitude to say that to me? All of them, of course. The ones I've talked to, you're the only one who really successfully made the transition. But they are all very nostalgic about radio and claim that the old days of radio comedy were so much more fun and so much more interesting and so much easier to work.
I didn't think so. I much prefer television. Plus the fact, what good is it going back to radio? Why go back? What good would it do you? You can't go back.
Good morning, Rochester.
Good morning, Mr. Berry. I'll have your breakfast in just a minute.
Oh, that's fine. I'm really hungry.
I won't take long. I'll let you sleep a little later because you're doing your TV show tonight.
And I'm glad you did, Rochester, because I had the same dream again.
The one where you were locked in the California bank?
Yeah. And I counted all the money. The fives, tens, twenties, fifties, hundreds, and $1,000 bills. And finally, the total was $7,349,560. Boy, what a relief.
Why?
The night before, I was $2 short. Gosh, the dream was so real.
It must have been. Wash the green off your hands and have your breakfast.
Okay. Hello, Polly.
Hello.
Rochester, what's the matter with Polly?
Oh, it's a long story. She's starting to catch a cold, so I gave her a little cognac.
Cognac? Why didn't you give her bourbon?
I can't stand it when she's got whiskey on her breath.
Well, take good care of her while I'm at the studio. You know, I won't want anything to happen. I'll get it. Coming, coming. Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello.
How are you feeling, kid?
Fine.
What's new?
Nothing.
Well, what'd you come over here for?
Say goodbye. I'm running away from home.
Not again. Always runs away from home. Dennis, does your mother know you're running away from home?
It was her idea.
For heaven's sake, another fight with your mother, huh?
Uh-huh.
What happened this time?
Well, we were all sitting around the dinner table laughing and having a good time, and then suddenly she lost her temper when I mentioned August 14th, 1924.
Well, what happened that day?
That's when I was born.
Oh, and as soon as you mentioned your birthday, she hit you, huh?
Yeah, but she hit my father first.
Kid, why don't you...
Oh, Mr. Benny!
What is it, Rochester?
Your breakfast is ready.
Okay, I'll be right there. Dennis, have you had your breakfast yet?
No.
Why don't you run out and get some while I'm having mine? It won't take long.
Mr. Benny, when I heard Mr. Day come in, I prepared breakfast for him, too.
Oh. Well, Dennis, how about joining me?
Oh, no, thanks. I'm not hungry.
But, Dennis, you told me you haven't had your breakfast.
I know.
Then how come you're not hungry?
I just had lunch.
Look, Dennis, will you please leave me alone? I don't want to be aggravated because I'm supposed to do my television show today.
Well, your TV show? Who's going to be your guest star?
Johnny Ray.
When your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye.
Now, cut that out.
It's no secret.
Stop.
Here, Jumpy, you think it was you who was running away from home.
Dennis, why don't you stop?
Mr. Benny, Polly's still sneezing. Shall I call the drugstore and have them send over some medicine?
The drugstore? Now, call up a veterinarian and have him come right over.
But, boss, that vet charges a lot of money for home visits.
So what? You know where to send the bill. What are you laughing at?
If the Blue Cross ever finds out that Polly Benny isn't your daughter, you're in trouble. Doesn't need a vet. She just has a little cold.
Oh, say, Mr. Benny, can I use your phone?
The phone? Yes, Dennis. Go ahead.
Thanks. I want to call TWA. I'm going to get on a plane and go as far away as I can.
Wait a minute, Dennis. Wait a minute. This has gone far enough. Now, you pick up that phone and call your mother and tell her that you're sorry and that you're not going to run away from home.
But, Mr. Benny...
Do as I say. Now, call your mother.
Okay.
Silly kid. Treating his mother like that.
Hello, Mother. This is Dennis. Your son. I'm over at Mr. Benny. Uh-huh. He wanted me to call you and tell you I'm sorry and that I'm not going to run away from home. What? Okay, goodbye, Mother.
What'd she say?
She said for you to mind your own business.
Mr. Benny!
What?
You better get going to the studio or you'll be late for your television show.
Oh, yes, I better hurry. Well, I'll see you later.
Okay. So long, boss.
Goodbye. You know, Rochester, I'm kind of nervous. I hope I have a funny television show today.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that, boss. The minute you come on the stage, the audience will start laughing and screaming. You can't miss.
What makes you so sure?
You forgot to put on your pants.
I'll
I'll be darned. I almost did TV in my BVDs.
Some of the questions that we wanted to ask about the Benny Show were best answered by Jack's longtime friend, George Burns. I know how close you were to Jack Benny. Why did Mary Livingston leave the Jack Benny program? She stopped working in the studio, and her lines were recorded at home and included
well,
in the program.
She was a very nervous lady.
Really?
And she couldn't face an audience. It was as simple as that. And she did things, and Jack made her do things, and she was very good at it. But she didn't do it because it's hard to explain. She was a hit, but she didn't want to be. She was afraid of an audience. She was nervous. It made her nervous, and not well.
All those years, she never got over it.
No, never got over it.
Say, we're making pretty good time today.
You're right, Miss Livingston. We just passed through Pasadena.
Gosh, I wonder why the traffic is so thick.
It's people still coming home from last year's Rose Bowl game.
Last year's Rose Bowl game. You know, Mary, sometimes I think
excuse
that...
Excuse me, Mr. Benny.
What is it, Rochester?
We're getting kind of low on gas.
We are? We're pulling that gas station on the corner there.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, we'd like some gas.
Yes, sir. Would you like regular or Ethel?
Let me see. I wonder what would be best for this car.
Blood.
Mary, please. I'll take the regular.
Fill it up.
Well, no. Put in about 3 gallons.
For heaven's sake, Jack, why don't you fill it up?
Mary, 3 is enough.
But you'll have to stop at another gas station for more. Now, why don't you fill it up?
Well, all right. Fill it up, mister.
Oh, boy, wait till I tell the boys at the lodge about this.
Rochester. Go ahead and fill the tank, mister.
Yes, sir.
Jack, what do you plan on doing in Palm Springs?
Well, I think I'll just rest, relax, and one, have a good time. I'm going to take a dip in the 2 swimming pool every morning and then play a round of 3 golf after that. That way I'll get plenty of 4 sun. In the afternoons, I'll just relax and 5 rest till dinner time. There's so many good places to 6 eat in Palm Springs, like the Dunes Dollhouse and down the beach, 7 Comers, and lots of others. Some nights I may go on 8 and...
For heaven's sake, that's enough gas! Stop already!
Through his years on television, Johnny Carson has made no secret of his great admiration for Jack Benny. I asked Don Wilson about that.
Johnny was the discovery of Benny's. I don't know whether you knew that, as Jack Parr was. Johnny was a great admirer and follower of Jack, and Jack helped Johnny a great, great deal. And Jack Benny found Jack Parr over in the South Pacific and put him under contract at one time. So a great deal of the success of those two people can be attributed legitimately to Jack Benny.
I just got off a bus.
Well, Johnny, it's just marvelous. This is your anniversary. And when I think how hard you have worked, never having a night off, for years and years and years, I've been Johnny Carson's idol.
That's true.
Now, you've said it, haven't you?
Many times.
True. Many times. Then all of a sudden, the whole thing switched, and Johnny Carson became my idol. And you want to know something? It's not nearly as much fun this way. I liked it much better the other way. NBC, they gave me a 10th anniversary. On my 10th anniversary, you would have been there, but you weren't even born.
How many years altogether now has it been that you have been a professional entertainer?
I would say about 58 years.
Good heavens. Mm.
Mm-hmm. 58 years in show business,
And I'm getting less money tonight than any night that I've ever been to. We had to sign a contract for that, yes.
What did you ask?
If you could be granted one wish, or if God would speak to you, what you would rather do?
Well, what I said was... See, I'm glad that you mentioned it now. You're smart.
I like that.
Yeah. I said that I love the violin so much that if there were such a thing as a miracle today, and God came to me and said, Jack... You know, he knows practically everybody.
You're smarter than I am.
If he said, Jack, starting tomorrow, I will make you one of the world's great violinists. But no more will you ever be able to tell a joke. I really believe that I would accept it. That's a tough thing to say, isn't it? When you've been getting laughs all your life, that's how much...
You would really like to play
that? That's how much I actually love the violin.
But you still practice all the time, and you play around the country.
I practice?
You get better?
No. Let me tell you something about the violin, Johnny. You know I give a lot of concerts.
Right.
You have to practice even to be lousy.
You stay in shape.
This I found out, and any one of the musicians will tell you. You know, Isaac Stern once said to me, he says, you know, Jack, when you walk out in front of a symphony orchestra in white tie and tails and your violin, you actually look like one of the world's great violinists. It's a damn shame you have to play.
Jack Benny's final weekly television show was in 1964, but he remained busy doing concerts and television specials through 1974. In August of that year, he went into the hospital complaining of severe stomach pains. He was given a clean bill of health. Visibly relieved, he went back to work. But the pains returned, and soon he was going to the doctor every day. He was scheduled to do a concert in Dallas in October, but unlike Jack Benny, had to cancel because of numbness in both arms. On December the 8th, Jack was scheduled to receive an award at a luncheon. But by then, his pain was so severe that George Burns went to the luncheon and accepted the award for him. On December 20th, his condition was diagnosed as terminal cancer of the pancreas. The doctors felt that he had 3 weeks to live. The news was kept from Jack and from the public as long as possible. At 11:26 p.m. on December 26th, the day after Christmas, 1974, Jack Benny died quietly at his home in Beverly Hills, California. The next day, we contacted Frank Nelson, Mel Blanc, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and Don Wilson, and we asked them to share their most vivid memories of Jack Benny with us.
Jack, I think, was a very secure person. He was a very private person. We'd kid around, and he'd kid with me about things occasionally, but other times he was always thinking about the show and thinking about what ought to be done, and he was serious. I think most comedians are serious. He didn't clown around a lot. He'd do some little things like his jumps and kicks and things like that, just to get around with the cast. But in the main, he was rather quiet.
The greatest work I've ever done was with Jack Benny, and he was the most wonderful man, and he appreciated everything that I did for him, and he didn't hold back. He let me know about it. I've worked with practically all of the people in show business, and of them all, I love Jack the most. He was very kind, considerate, and a real wonderful friend.
Words can't describe. I can only say this, that this is what the world is seeking. Jack Benny loved me, and I loved him. He was the greatest man that ever lived. I'll tell you something, they'll never have another one.
But he was so great. He was, it affected everybody, I think, that way. He was gentle. This is really, this is what's on his mausoleum. a gentleman. And that's what he truly was, because I never saw him actually get mad at anyone. He might get a little irritated and everything and fly off the handle for a minute. And then he'd go over a few seconds after and apologize. Say, I'm sorry, it was something else that was bothering me. You know? He never stayed mad at anyone or never really hurt anyone. But he was so great.
Most people ask the question, was Jack Benny as funny off the air as on? And Jack was not that kind of a comedian. Jack was a great listener and appreciator of other comedians when they were on. And he would always stay in the background. He would always laugh and get a lot of enjoyment out of another comic's work. And great applause from Benny. But if Benny was in a crowd of comedians, he was eventually on. He could top everybody, but he was just not in real life a one-liner stand-up comedian like a Burl or George Burns or somebody like that, you know. But he was a real and thoroughbred professional from start to finish. And he always demanded the very, very best that he could possibly get. And he never missed. And of course, with his passing, it was the close of a great era in the theater. And if there ever was to be an irreplaceable man, Jack Benny would unquestionably be that man.
At the funeral, Jack Benny was eulogized by Bob Hope.
When Benny Kobelski was born, who in their wildest dreams would imagine that 80 years later, at the advent of his passing, every television program, every radio show would stop, and that every magazine and newspaper would headline it on their front pages. The millions of people who had never met him, who had only seen him or heard him, would feel the pain of a very personal loss. For a man who was the undisputed master of comedy timing, you'd have to say that this was the only time when Jack Benny's timing was all wrong. He left us much too soon. He was stingy to the end. He only gave us 80 years, and it wasn't enough. Jack Benny long ago ceased to be merely a personality and became an institution. If there's a Mount Rushmore for humanitarians, that first stone face might easily resemble him. And if stone could talk, it would say, well. Perhaps what made Jack Benny such a great laugh maker was that he himself loved to laugh. He was the greatest audience a comedian could ever want. George Burns will attest to that. And all of us would play jokes on him just to break him up and hear him laugh. I know it might sound a little corny, but there'll be times from now on when the lightning will crackle with a special kind of sound, or thunder will peal with a special roar, and I'll think to myself that Cantor or Fields or Fred Allen must have told Jack a joke. In his beautiful full lifetime, Jack succeeded gloriously. Jack found a great joy in the joy he brought to others. I cannot say it better than these words. His life was gentle, and the elements so mixed in him that nature might stand up and say to all the world, this was a man. God keep him, enjoy him. We did for 80 years.
The comedy show written by Fred Zolanko, produced by Dan Randand and Paul Grunhauser. I'm Jack Carney, and the comedy show is a Buckingham production.
Benny was born ignorant, and he's been losing ground ever since. Who would be low enough to sneak into a tour to save 60 cents?
There's the guy! Hey, you!
Who, me?
Jack, how can you be so cheap?
All right, go ahead. Be like the other radio comedians. Tell some cheap joke. I won't even eat in the sun. My shadow might ask me for a bite.
Look, Jack, if there ever was a time that you and I should not argue, this is the time.
What do you mean, this is the time?
Well, haven't you heard? A lot of the radio programs that have been on for many years have been canceled. By the way, you finished tonight, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Tonight was my last show of the season.
Did your sponsor mention anything about your program coming back in October?
Well, no, Fred, but we have a mutual understanding. You see, we always sort of take it for granted.
Oh.
The season ends, the sponsor shakes hands with me, and then we... Yikes!
Jack, what's wrong?
Tonight he didn't shake hands.
up, Jack. When you're retired, you can tune in on my new show.
New show?
People don't want entertainment today. A radio show has to give away things. Nylons, iceboxes, automobiles.
You mean to stay on the air, you have to give things away?
Yes.
I'll die first.
Well, not me. I'm auditioning my new program tonight.
And you're, Fred, you're giving things away?
Tons of stuff.
Well, Fred, as long as I'm here in the studio...
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Jack. Professional people cannot participate. It's a rule.
But don't you ever find people on these programs changing their names to get something for nothing?
Well, occasionally we do catch a phony, but we're on the air. What can we do?
Now, Mr. Allen, we're ready for your audition. I'll run along, Fred. So long.
So long, Jack.
Giving away things for nothing.
Well, all right, let's try out my new show.
Here he is, the man who will change one of you nobodies into king for a day, the old kingmaker himself, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. And here is our first eager contestant. Your name, sir?
Myron Proudfoot.
Myron Proudfoot? You look like a chap I know.
I'm not interested in your friends. Start giving things away, brother.
Now, don't get sarcastic, Mr. Proudleg.
The name is Proudfoot, and make with the question.
All right. Who is the sixth president of the United States?
John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams is correct, and Mr. Myron Proudfoot is king for a day. Well, Your Majesty, how do you feel?
Never mind how I feel. What do I get?
Immediately after this program, Your Majesty will be guest of honor at a banquet at Hamburger Heaven. Tomorrow night, in your ermine robe, you will be whisked by bicycle to Orange, New Jersey, where you will be the judge in a chicken cleaning contest. I'm king for a day! And that's not all.
There's more?
Yes, on our stage, we have a Hoffman pressing machine.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. An expert operating the Hoffman pressing machine will press your trousers.
Now, wait a minute.
Keep your shirt on, King.
You better keep my shirt on.
We're a little late, folks.
Come on, Alan, give me my pants.
Quiet, King.
Alan, listen,
please,
stop. Where are my pants?
Denny, for 15 years I've been waiting to catch you like
Alan,
this.
Alan, you haven't seen the end of me.
It won't be long now.
I want my pants.
See, it was awfully nice of Ronnie to let me take his Oscar home so I could show it to Rochester. Sure is dark tonight. No moon. Oh, well.
Hey, Bud.
Bud.
Huh? You got a match?
Yes, I have one right here.
Don't make a move. This is a stick-up.
Mister, put down that gun.
Shut up. I said this is a stick-up. Now, come on. Your money or your life.
Look, Bud. I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over. Put down that gun or I'll thrash you to within an inch of your life. But it's gold, I say.
No, just a second, mister. Don't you come any closer.
They think you can scare me with a gun. Well, I'll break your arm.
Look, mister. I didn't want to do this, but I had to. I had to get money for my wife and children.
Well, you didn't have to pull a gun on me. If you wanted money, all you had to do was ask.
See, where's that dressing room they changed me to?
Oh, here it is, Jack, right here. Number 4.
Oh, yes. Say, look at that, Mary. They put 2 stars on the door. I guess they're trying to make me feel good. Let's go in.
Hello there, Mr. Benny.
Well, hello, Miss Benny.
Amos and Andy.
Hello, boys.
Oh, hello, Miss Livingston. Excuse us for being in our bathrobes.
Yeah, we was pressing our pants under the mattress.
Well, fellas, it seems you could have done that in your own dressing room.
This is our dressing room.
Yeah, sir. This dressing room here was given to us by the head man of this network. And he say if anybody comes in and gives us trouble, that we should very gently throw him out. That's what he said.
Yeah. And...
on his head or on his shoe?
Well, he told us one thing. He requested that we keep the bouncers down to a minimum anyway.
fellas, nobody's going to start any trouble. Obviously, there's been a mistake. Anyway, you don't do your opening program till next Sunday. What are you doing here so early?
Well, we don't like to leave things to the last minute, so we down here at the studio to test the acoustics.
The acoustics?
Yeah, so you see, your voice comes out your mouth, hits the side wall, hits the back wall, then hits the other side wall and comes right back to you.
Yeah, that's what's known as a three-cushion shot.
Well, I still can't understand them giving you my dressing room. Anyway, I'll take it up with Mr. Paley. Come on, Mary.
Say, Amos, Mr. Benny was a little upset because we got this dressing room, huh?
Yeah, well, that ain't what's bothering him. He's upset because the day they stopped daylight saving time.
Well, what's that got to do with him?
When they stop any kind of saving, Mr. Bennett takes it personal.
Yeah, you're right. That man is closer than the pupils on a cross-eyed flea.
That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Lift up the mattress and see if the crease in our pants is as sharp as we are.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon me, boys. I left my hat in here.
Oh, yes, sir. Here you is.
Thanks, Andy. So long, Amos. So long. Yeah, I can't understand why I'm being pushed around here. They take my parking space, my dressing room. What next?
Oh, Jack, Jack.
Oh, hello, Don.
Oh, Jack, I've been looking all over for you. Boy, am I excited.
Why, Dow? What happened?
Well, you know how hard I've been trying to reduce?
Yes.
Well, I finally made it. I'm down to 165.
Down to 165? How did that happen?
I weighed myself on an English scale, and they cut the pound in half.